Usually I don't like to give the names out of people, say, that are serial killers or mass shooters or anything like that, because I don't want to give them the notoriety. But in this case, I'm taking the opposite tack. Sherneski Bell, 58, of Kenner, arrested and booked with possession of pornography involving juveniles, some 45 images allegedly on his phone of children, some as young as 3. He's 58. His 19-year-old girlfriend found him. Maybe that's got something to do with this. Every time I see this, it just sickens me, and it seems as though it's getting more and more prevalent. I don't know if social media is the reason for that. Lenny Carollo, our guest, FBI New Orleans agent with the child exploitation. And Lenny, it says here you lead a full-time task force which aggressively works to identify and locate online child predators and child pornographers. Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking the time with us.
Hey, good morning, Tommy.
Has this gotten worse with the expansion of social media, or is it just being tracked more in terms of child pornography?
That's a very good question, Tommy. I get asked that quite often. I don't believe that the actual child pornography or the prevalence of it has gotten worse. I just think the access to it has increased. And of course, the internet and social media have just made it easier to find. And it's also increased the anonymity of it for the people who are seeking it out.
Somebody texted this in and says, a coworker that I worked with for over 24 years got busted 4 months ago for child porn. His wife tipped him off. They started an investigation, and he had a whole bunch of images, and you never would have known it. And I ask you that, Lenny, because are there any signs of somebody maybe engaging in this, but from the consumer end, if I can phrase it that way, where you got somebody in your family, somebody you work with, any identifying traits where it would make you suspicious that they might be doing this kind of thing?
So what we've seen, Tommy, in my experience in working with other law enforcement agencies is more often than not, people don't recognize signs, or there are no prevalent signs. And what I mean by that is the individuals who are doing these types of crimes are very good at hiding it and keeping it that privacy to themselves. But what I do tell people when I go out and give presentations and speak with parent groups and community groups is, you know, if something doesn't seem right, or if someone is doing something or you believe they're hiding something, you know, that's a good suspicion. Now, that doesn't mean that they're engaging in child pornography, but it could be. And we do get a lot of people calling us and reporting to law enforcement. Similar situation to what you described is they became suspicious. They found something. It didn't seem right to them, and they reported to us. And that's the biggest thing is I can encourage the public to do is if you find something and it looks like a child or pornography, please give law enforcement a call. We will be more than happy to come out and take a look at it and let us make that decision if it is in fact child pornography.
If you do traffic in this sort of thing, and again, I think, and Lenny, in terms of profile, I'm going to get into that later, but it seems to me the only difference between somebody that molests children and engages in child pornography is opportunity. Am I making too big of a leap there or not?
So there is literature out there, Tommy, and there have been studies. There's definitely a progression. A lot of times what I've seen is offenders, what they'll do is start with that curiosity, and they start with looking at it and then start with collecting it and seeking it out. And at some point, if they hadn't already, they become a hands-on offender. And that's our biggest concern is those contact offenses with children.
I always thought that, Lenny, and you confirmed at least what I thought, because if you're that kind of sicko, then as soon as you get the opportunity, you're going to do it. In terms of profile of somebody that would, I don't know if we have time for this question or not. Maybe when we come back, you can answer me. You do have a couple of more minutes, I hope, Lenny?
Yes, sir.
Because I think this is very important. In terms of profile of somebody who would engage in this kind of thing, engaging in evil behavior, I don't think, and I'm no attorney or psychologist, but makes you insane. I just think it makes you evil and demented in some way, not necessarily sick. So if we can, I'd like to talk about the profile of somebody that engages in this sort of thing. And I think the other thing I would like to ask you, and I hope the answer is what I'm looking for, is that if you think you're going to engage in this on the internet, you will eventually be caught and you will eventually go to jail. And we'll talk more about that when we come back. Lenny Carollo, Baton Rouge. Wait, let me get your title straight. I'm confused here. Lenny Carollo, FBI agent in New Orleans, who leads a full-time task force working to identify and locate online child predators and child pornographers. Is that right?
That is correct, Tommy. And it's called a child exploitation task force. And it is based on partnership here locally in New Orleans. It's not only FBI personnel working on that task force, but we have representatives from Louisiana State Police, Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office, and Kenner Police Department as well.
Tommy Tucker, I hate to start the morning with something this serious, but I think it's very important because kids, man, I got a special place in my heart for kids. And the Sherneski Bell, 58 years old, of Kenner, arrested, booked with possession of pornography involving juveniles, and I don't know why you could make a case that he's anything but human garbage, but that's just my opinion. Lenny Carollo is with us, an FBI New Orleans supervisory special agent and part of the Child Exploitation Task Force. In this case, this guy's girlfriend turned him in, and he was arrested. In terms, Lenny, of and I know you're not here to be a defense attorney or anything, but if you catch somebody with child porn, that's a pretty well open and closed case, is it not?
It usually is, Tommy. But we don't just look at it as just possession of child pornography. We definitely want to look at the entire situation because, as I stated a little earlier, our biggest concern are hands-on offenders, mm-hmm. those contact offenders. So we want to find out, and we will go out. We have full-time victim specialists that work at the FBI. And they assist us with going out and talking to these kids. We will bring in specialized forensic interviewers to interview children to see if any children have been harmed. We work very closely with partners like at the Children's Advocacy Center and work with them to also have these children talk to if there are potential victims. And one thing I do want to point out, Tommy, I've heard a lot, throughout the public domain is that child pornography is a victimless crime. I hear that a lot.
Who in the world would say that?
Unfortunately, it's stated, right? And I just want to bring that up because that is a very large misconception. It's not true because every time a child pornography image is viewed, that child who is depicted is re-victimized. So I just want to make sure that the public is aware of something like that.
That's incredible. I got to tell you, and I'm getting some texts here that just make me raise my eyebrows, and it's like it seems to me the protection of the children come first. A child as young as 3, child porn, sometimes they have images of people abusing a child, videos of that these sickos want to have on their computer, and I know you can't say that, Lenny, but I did. When it comes to enforcement, and I guess with the internet, it's worldwide, some of this coming from other countries. Does the majority come from other countries, or is there any way to prove that?
So in my experience, Tommy, I think historically, like decades ago, there were quite a significant number of images that came from overseas. But I'd say in my experience, the last 15 years, I've seen probably more images come domestically than from overseas. And we're talking about real victims here, not a child who is just posed in a certain way. Overwhelmingly, these images are of children who have been abused or are in the act of being abused. So we're talking about, domestic American citizens.
Are these people abusing their own children? Are these kidnapped victims, or is it family members? Because they say sometimes it's the person closest to the child that's videoing it somehow and then uploading it to the internet.
I would say, in my experience, more often than not, it would not be a kidnapping victim. It would be either someone's own child or, like you had stated, someone that has access to that child, either through a familial relationship or some other kind of, sometimes we'll see it like a person in a position of trust or authority has access to children. We'll see that as well.
I'm sorry, Lenny, and I know the FBI doesn't violate anybody's rights. You can't do that. But is it safe to say, or is it anywhere accurate to say, that if you engage in this kind of sick behavior, on the internet and deal with child porn, that eventually it's not a matter of if you, but it's when you will be caught.
I'd like to think so. I'd like to think not just with the FBI, but through our partnerships we have with state, local, and other federal agencies, that with all of us working together to combat this violation, that at some point we're going, if you're out there, you know, producing, distributing, possessing child pornography, you're going to be caught, and law enforcement will find you.
So it's not just a matter of if, it's when.
I'd like to think that, yes, sir.
And I hope that discourages somebody. Lenny, when it comes to teens, I guess, and sexting each other and so forth, parents need to realize, either if they are the people, the parents of the people sexting or the people receiving these messages, that they are engaging in child pornography, correct?
Yes, that's correct, Tommy. And, you know, one thing that we do is a lot of outreach in law enforcement. So what that means is we go out, we talk to parent groups, we talk to schools, to the actual students, and we try to educate everyone on the dangers of the internet. And a lot of times we have to educate the parents, because, I mean, these days, you know, and I'm the father of a teenager, kids know more about the internet and cellular and mobile technology than parents do. So educating them on the dangers of, you know, what's out there. And then more importantly, that if you send an image, once you send it and it's on the internet, it's irretrievable. There's no way to take that back.
And people that have been fired from jobs know that when it comes to tweeting and everything else. Of course, a lot more serious in this case. Somebody texted this in, and I think it's an interesting question. Molesters usually know it's wrong. That's why they hide it so well. Is there a way for these people to get help before their situation gets even worse? And I guess I would ask you, does part of your job and does part of this task force, part of the things you do, examine the psychological problems of why this happens, or is it just deal with it after it happens? And in terms of molesters knowing it's wrong, is that necessarily true?
I would like to think that people know that it's wrong, regardless if they're committing the crime or not. But as far as examining the psychological aspects or investigating that part of it, while all of our agents and investigators receive training and of course, try to stay up to date on things like that, we leave the in-depth portion of that to the mental health professionals.
So when it comes to kids, and another reason I wanted to do this, kids will be getting, it's like every year, right? You got another class, if you will, passing through the grade, and new kids are going to be getting iPhones for the first time at Christmas. And in terms of the parents monitoring what they do on social media and maybe being lured to a park or something by somebody who is not whom they purport to be, what advice would you give to parents that might be either giving their child an iPhone for the first time with internet access, or have a young child that already has one and maybe they're not paying as much attention?
I can't stress enough that parents need to monitor what their kids are doing online. And it's not just a computer or an iPhone or a cellular device or a tablet. Video game systems are the same way. Mm. Kids can go online, they're playing a video game system, and they can either chat through that platform, or what we've seen is kids will actually have conversations through like a headset with other people that they're playing the games with. And we have had investigations where kids were lured and enticed through those online gaming platforms.
In terms of rehabilitation, well, first off, are there any apps parents can get to kind of help them keep track of this?
There are. I can't advocate for any particular app, but there are several out there, and you know, any quick internet search, they'll find you know, the reputable apps where parents can monitor what their children are doing online.
Yeah, and I know you can't go into the profile, but just in terms of repeat offenders, do you see a lot of that where you bust a guy, and I presume it's primarily men, is it, Lenny?
Well, I try not to get into the question or answer questions about profiles. And here's why, Tommy, because I have, in my experience, we have arrested people from all walks of life. Mm-hmm. So I think if you were to speak with a psychologist or psychiatrist, they might tell you that, yes, there's a profile for this. But I can tell you anyone and everyone can be involved in something like this. And as far as the recidivism that you were asking, it's a very high rate of recidivism. We have seen people that have been arrested, fully prosecuted, in prison, serve their sentence. They come out, they're a registered sex offender, and then they're back at it as soon as they get out of prison. So,
Lenny, I'm not trying to take up for anybody, but I think what that means is they cannot be cured. That's just something they have, and maybe they need to be locked away. I know you can't comment on that, so I'll leave you out of it. Somebody texted in and said, how do they get your information to have him speak at a school? Do you all do that?
Absolutely, we do that. They can call the FBI New Orleans. That's area code 504-816-3000. They can request a presentation or any kind of like educational seminar, and we will come out and either conduct training or a presentation and awareness briefing on the dangers of the internet and internet safety.
Lenny, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your time. Again, if it saves one child, it was well worth the almost hour that we spent. Lenny Carollo, FBI New Orleans agent with the Child Exploitation Task Force. Is there a website, Lenny, where they can go to get some tips or ideas or things to keep them from their kids from getting being taken advantage of or victimized?
Yes, of course. Of course, there's FBI.gov. That is that's our website, and there are resources there. A couple of other organizations I'll give plugs for because we work closely with them. One is NCMEC, which is the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, their website as well. And then there's something called NetSmarts, and that's NET, Smarts, SMARTZ. And same thing, lots of online resources for kids, parents, teachers, law enforcement as well. Great resources for the dangers of the internet.
Thank you, Lenny. Keep working at it. I know you will.
Thanks, Tommy.
You have a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Lenny Carollo.